Accent Alert. English accents from around the world.
The Australian English accent. The modern accents of Australia are quite similar to English accents from London, particularly Cockney ones. This is probably because many of the first English people to come to Australia in the 18th century were from London. There are many interesting features of the accent. For example, Australians tend to turn the letter T into a D, as in kettle and metal. For example, the kettle is made out of metal. Instead of the standard British English, the kettle is made out of metal. There are many other special sounds in Australian English which tend to be found in certain geographic areas. People from the country are more likely to speak Ocker English or Strine, which is the kind of accent you'll hear if you've ever watched the movie Crocodile Dundee. For example, sometimes the I sound becomes oi, as in moi, can I have my money? Instead of the more English my, can I have my money? The L sound in many words is often turned into a Y sound, so that instead of Australia, it's pronounced Australia. The A sound from standard British English is pronounced I. For example, Australians pronounce day as die, lay as lay, and today as to die. These sounds are best illustrated by a joke. The scene is North Africa, at the height of fierce battles in World War II. An Australian junior officer meets a British senior officer on the front line. "Good morning, young man," says the British officer. "Did you come here to die?" "No, sir," replies the young Australian. "I came yesterday." There are many special words, phrases and expressions in Australia. For example, we like to shorten long words like breakfast to brekkie, biscuit to bicky, and truck driver to truckie. We even shorten the name of our country. Australia is often referred to as Oz, and instead of calling ourselves Australians, we say Aussies. Australians use a lot of expressions. When you want to tell someone that something is not a problem, you say, "No worries." If you agree totally with someone's opinion, you can say, "Too right." And if you think something is really excellent, try saying that it's sweet as. A lot of Australian words come from the unique plants and animals in the country and from Indigenous Australian culture. Apart from koalas and kangaroos, we also have gum trees. These are native Australian trees. The dingo, the native Australian dog, and the boomerang, a hunting tool used by Aboriginal Australians. In Australia, you might be greeted with a friendly g'day when you walk into a shop. G'day is a contraction of the more old-fashioned greeting good day and is used widely to say hello to people. When they say goodbye, a lot of Australians say, "Have a good one." This simply means that you should have a good time with whatever else you have planned, whether it's going for a surf or walking the dog. It is a bit more broad than the traditional have a good day. One other important feature of everyday speech in Australia is the use of the word mate. Men in particular often address each other as mate, instead of using their actual names. Mate means friend or pal, and implies a sort of camaraderie or cooperation between men. The concept of mateship is actually included in the Australian Constitution now, much to the consternation of some women who find the term slightly exclusive since it is mostly used by men. The accents of New Zealand are similar to Australian accents because a large proportion of the English-speaking settlers of New Zealand came from Australia. However, the way to decide whether you are listening to an Australian or New Zealander lies in the pronunciation of the letter I in the famous fish and chips test. If your companion likes eating fish and chips, he or she is Australian. If, on the other hand, they prefer fush and chups, you are dealing with a New Zealander. Now I'm going to tell you a short story in my best Australian accent. Once, when I was a kid, around 6 years old, I got a very beautiful new bike for Christmas. It had a pink basket on the front and streamers on the handlebars, and I remember thinking it was the most wonderful present a girl could ever receive. I had one small problem though. I didn't know how to ride it. My bike came with a very nice set of training wheels, but I was determined to learn how to ride like a big girl and instructed my dad to take off the training wheels immediately. I would only ride my bike on two wheels. Every evening before dinner, my dad took me to the park to practice riding on the grass so that I wouldn't hurt myself too much if I fell off. And I fell off a lot of times. I couldn't manage to keep the bike straight and would wobble and crash into the grass after only a few seconds. I was becoming very frustrated. When would I learn how to ride this silly bike? Finally, one evening, I was settled on the seat of the bike, my feet on the pedals, and my dad about to give me a push so that I could start off by myself. I was wearing only a pair of thongs on my feet, like most kids do in Australia. Suddenly, my right foot was stinging so badly that I thought I would die. I looked down and realized that I was parked above a giant ant's nest, and that a swarm of them had crawled up onto my foot and were biting me. Just as I started to squeal with pain, my dad gave me a push and I set off on the bicycle. I was so desperate to get away from the ants and to ease the pain in my foot that I was halfway across the park before I realized that I was riding the bike all by myself, without falling off. My dad was cheering me as I raced across the park and I almost forgot that my foot was stinging. Finally, I'd learned to ride a bike, and all thanks to the ant's nest. Most Australian ants, by the way, aren't too harmful, but they definitely sting when you get bitten.